Moncrief on News Talk.
It's time for four questions where we look back over the weekend and forward to the week ahead. The four questions are, as usual, what delighted you, what annoyed you, what did you learn, and what are you looking forward to? The people here to answer those questions are Donal O'Donoghue and Dieran O'Connor. Good afternoon to you both.
Afternoon.
So, Donal, you did some physical labour for a change.
Yeah, not...
got off your metrosexual seat and got your hands dirty.
I got my hands dirty after 30 years sitting in an office. So... what happened is my brother-in-law, Philip, is putting a very nice extension on his house. Side extension and a rear extension. And he's in the building trade.
That's a big one.
It is a big one. Like, it's something that would give Dermot Bannon a rocket in his pocket. But he basically gave me a call. He's a builder himself, so he's doing a lot of the work himself. And he gave me a call. And he said, look, I'm putting the foundations in. Can you pop over for an hour and give me a hand? Mm. Well, I thought, I can do that. So I arrived over the other morning anyway. So there was myself, Philip, his mate Gary, and Philip's son Ben. So we had three men and a teenager and an almost man. And but you want to see this, right? So he's dug out the trenches, so the entire side of the house, the rear of the house, and he's got a concrete mixer truck arriving. Now, I said to him, how much concrete are you putting in? He said 6.5 cubic meters. So like, I was like, that doesn't sound like very much. Turns out 6.5 cubic meters is like 15.5 tons of wet concrete, like a full concrete mixer. Mm. So there we were. The lads are in their Snickers gear with their hard cap, ooh, steel cap boots. I'm in a pair of swim because I've kind of low on work gear. So I had like shorts and a singlet, and it's one of the sunny days.
A rubber duck.
there was no rubber duck. There was a mini digger, and we basically had to wheelbarrow 16.5 tons of wet cement from the mixer into the garden. Now, I was first up and I haven't done a day's work in a while, aside from a bit of recruitment. So I prematurely shed my first load on the bank.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And everyone was looking. So Sarah and Lara, the girls, had kind of been fueling us up with bacon sandwiches and cups of tea. The concrete mixer arrived and I was the first one to go. So I kind of, you know, had to go over a plank across the first trench and around the side of the house with a wheelbarrow full of wet cement. And yeah, and the guy's in the trench and he's saying, just throw it in here into the back corner. And I just, it just happened a little bit too quick. So half of it went on the bank, half of it went in. Now, I did pull back the game after that. And we did, in like an hour and a half, manage to get the footings in, which I learned is the first layer of, you know, of concrete that go into the trenches. But yeah, I did a day's work.
Yeah. Did you fill up the trench?
No. So here's what I learned. The footing is the concrete that goes into the trench initially, and that kind of disperses the load. So you have the footing, then they put some block work, and then there's another pour.
Yeah.
So, 16.5 tons of wet concrete. And then a very accommodating fella whose job was kind of to operate the mixer and the chute, which was filling up the wheelbarrows. So we had kind of military precision where we'd all be lined up. One would fill a barrow, kind of go across the plank over the trenches. And it was hard work.
And because it's wet concrete, you can't wait around.
Yeah, time is of the essence. Yeah. And you've kind of got an hour because whatever way you book the truck, you've kind of got an hour to get it in. And then we had a ground worker in there that was kind of leveling it and he had kind of set it all out. So, yeah, that was me.
So is he going to ring you for when the rest of the foundations go in, or are you going to be busy?
I hope I never hear from him again. But you know what? You know what the nice part was? The nice part was, because, you know, you see the foundations and you can imagine, okay, it's going to add that much to the side and the back of the house. And then you realize that as they have all those wonderful family moments in that new extension, it will be sitting on our hard work. So, yeah. That delighted me. That's my delight.
Okay. God, you'd be around the house going, you know who poured this in here? Oh, no. Yeah. Granddad's at it again. Listening to tunes from the 2000s delighted you.
Yes. Yeah, I was in kind of a bad mood yesterday. I don't know if you'd believe that.
Why?
Yeah, well, it was... when a woman goes through her menstrual cycle, the hormones can be high. Sean, I'm glad you asked that question.
So I believe, yes. That's okay.
News to me.
I was ready to kill people over the weekend, so I thought I'd take out.
Your periods are cranky periods.
So very much so, yeah. I suffer from polycystic ovary syndrome.
Oh,
so
Jesus, PCOS,
It's not fun, but I'm doing my best, Sean.
Yeah.
So I said I'd bring myself out on a hot date for the occasion, for the day that was in it. And I went for a walk, but on the way, I really had to now talk myself into taking myself out of the house. You know, I basically wanted to sit inside in the darkness and like rock back and forth because of the hormones. Mm. But I said, no, not today. I headed for the Slieve Bloom Mountains and I pumped the radio on the way. But I feel like at the moment I've kind of been listening to all the modern stuff, you know, Olivia Dean and that kind of jazz, which is brilliant. But I said I wanted something different. So I put on Neo, Sierra, the Backstreet Boys, House of Pain. To say it turned my mood around instantly. And I had heard that it's actually like a psychological phenomenon. That term, I'm not sure if that's correct, yeah. But what is correct.
No, that makes sense, yes.
It's called the reminiscence bump. So basically the songs that you would have listened to or the things that happened to you from the ages of 10 to 30 are the most like prominent, they light up like parts of your brain. So if you listen to music that you used to listen to when you were a teenager, the dopamine hit is strong because it was like your first kiss or your first job. It was at that time was all your firsts. So basically that's why I was absolutely thrilled singing my heart out.
Or indeed your trauma response would be higher depending on what happened to you when you were listening
to that music. I only turned on the good ones.
Yeah. Fun ones. Okay, that's good. And did you have specific memories attached to the songs that you were playing?
Yeah, I actually did it on the way up. I'm ready to go to Coppers now after all the tunes that I was listening to on the way here too. But yeah, like there was a dog. I used to have a dog called Frisky. He was like my best friend. Everybody was so much older than me at home and never wanted to talk to me. So me and Frisky were like thick as thieves. And we had a company car at home that my brother used to drive around the fields. So it was like an old ESB yellow little Fiat Punto. And I used to drive up and down the lane with Frisky in the passenger seat like a human being. And I'd have my phone and I'd be playing, you know, celebrate the summer, driving to the sea.
I'm getting a trauma response here right now.
Yeah, what happened to Frisky?
Oh God, that's a tough one. Yeah, I'd still cry if I was to think about it. They said he was 11. I was in Boston on my J1, came home. All I did was talk about Frisky on the J1. Came home, we're at the Red Cow. I was surprising everybody. I said to my sister, actually, my brother left me in the airport while he was at. I only told my brother that I was coming home. He was at the Galway races. He was supposed to collect me. My sister was sending out, you know, things over the intercom in the Dublin airport, being like, is Darren O'Connor in the airport? He told her the wrong day. So she rang him and he was like, the all engine day. Anyway, she came up the right day to collect me. We're at the Red Cow coming home. And I said, I can't wait to see Frisky. And she said, I have something to tell you.
Oh.
I cried the whole way home and it was a surprise to everybody. I got in and I was like, don't even look at me. They knew if they told me that he had died. It was the really hot summer. It was 2013.
Yeah.
And they said he died of the heat. But I think he fell asleep and maybe my brother didn't know he was underneath a vehicle. Yeah. Now that's, I still don't believe that's true. I still think he, my uncle let slip that.
Okay, it wasn't that car you used to drive up and down the road with Frisky in it.
That would have
been. That would have been a, you know.
No.
Ironic way to go, I would have thought. So drivers, of course, annoy everybody. We're on a theme here now, don't we?
Yeah, so I was driving home the other night and I had the pleasure of the company of a boy racer driving very closely behind me as we were going out, you know, an 80-kilometre road, single road. And he made a couple of attempts, like he's right up my backside. He made a couple of attempts to pass, which he couldn't because there was oncoming traffic. But eventually he got past, absolutely floored it. He must have put it up to, I don't know, 120, 130. And then to add insult to injury, he threw an empty can of Monster out the window, just into the ditch across the road. And it just made me think about, you know, how these negative behaviors kind of cluster. Like, not only are you driving you know, really aggressively, not only you put other road users at risk, but then you've just got no respect for the environment or for, you know, it's a nice country road, and like to toss your can of Monster out the window, it's just like, do you know what? That has annoyed me and I'm telling Moncrief about it.
Yeah, very on brand in the boy racer thing to throw the can of Monster out. And people using the word little. Now, it depends on the context. If something is genuinely little, that's okay.
Exactly, yeah. I don't discriminate when it comes to size in that sense. But yeah, when someone says little, as in, for example, I was on a date with a man and he said, how's the little podcast going? Boiled my blood. So anything like that, if someone is trying to belittle you, no pun intended, to make themselves feel bigger, it drives me insane.
Yeah. So, and does that happen to you a lot?
It happens to me now. Yeah, I feel like with men, that's when I'm like, if they say anything of the sort, it's just instantly they're gone. And I mean, I was going to reply to him and say, how's your little Michael?
Yeah.
Michael, you know? But I didn't. And now I would.
Yeah.
And I'd probably, I don't have one, but if I did, it might be bigger than
yeah,
Michael.
Well, he may not have realized he was being patronizing. I'm maybe grasping at straws here.
Maybe, but I feel like if you're saying something like that, it's definitely something underlying. You're still trying to, like, they could be doing it without realizing. But I feel like if they're starting off like that, there's only
one.
Maybe it is a me problem, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
Yeah.
It's always a them problem.
It's always a them problem. Donald, you learn hang sandwiches in Mullingar is a great day out.
A great day out, yeah. So what I learned this week was, I suppose, when you're thinking about how to entertain the kids and you think about how expensive everything has got at the moment, and we've got four kids, so, you know, to go out for lunch or anything like that, you're paying for six people and stuff has got really expensive. So one of the things that we did is we went for a picnic. So we went to Mullingar Lakes and the cost of the whole thing was literally six rolls, ham and cheese rolls, a bottle of Club Orange, a few crisps, a few jellies. And we just had the best day. Of course, it was one of the sunny days, but the kids were jumping off the jetty into the water, a bit of sunshine, a bit of people watching, because you get all sorts in an environment like that. And me being a Dublin boy that grew up by the sea, I'd never been to Mullingar Lakes before, and it was a different experience, and I absolutely loved it. So I'm now championing picnics as the next new thing.
Yeah, indeed, you can't beat it if the weather is good. And did your father actually think, Darren, that Luxembourg is in England?
That
he'd never heard of the country Luxembourg.
He heard of Luxembourg. He wasn't too worried about what part of the world it was in. So there's a bit of a journey in this one now, so stick with me. But I had gotten porridge. Well, I was eating porridge at the table. We're in the kitchen. Mammy and Daddy are there. And I had put in this new protein yogurt, Greek yogurt, that I'd gotten into it. And I said, God, I've never really understood the whole protein thing. You know, everybody talks about it. It's a real buzzword now. And then I said, now I understand that it's supposed to make you feel fuller. And my little protein porridge concoction had actually done that. And Daddy was like, oh, that's amazing. Where is it from? So I looked at the package and it said Luxembourg. And he was like, oh, it's English. Throw it out. And I was like, I said, Luxembourg isn't in England. Like, why would you think that? And he said, Luxembourg Radio, or Radio Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was this radio station that used to transmit from, what were the years? It started in 1933. And I just thought this was so exotic. So when Daddy was 10 or 11 years of age, he used to come in every evening and turn on the radio, and there'd be a show called Dan Dare.
Yeah. Which was a cartoon as well as a radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd go into school the next day, and him and all of his little buddies would talk about Dan Dare and what they did last night. And
on Radio Luxembourg.
On Radio Luxembourg.
Which was transmitted from Luxembourg, even though it was essentially an English station.
Yeah.
Though I think maybe it transmitted in other languages as well. I'm not sure. But
no idea.
In those days you could do. And there was Radio Caroline that used to transmit from a boat in the North Atlantic for many years. It only closed down, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, actually.
We should bring four questions out and to get onto Steniline.
Yeah, okay. You can negotiate with the insurance company for that one. Donald and Darren, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.